This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all today as we celebrate All Saints Day. We're using Divine Service 1 out of the Lutheran Service Book, hymn 670, 948, 677, 641, 672, 982, and 680. Well, Father, our service you receive on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, Father, share your peace and intercession of faith. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, so the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise and greet one another in the peace of the Lord. let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us, O Father, your blessed saints and all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word. The first reading is from Revelation 7, verses 9 to 17. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them with springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Of love. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise from the singing of the universe.
This is Mrs. Kern. She's a follower of Jesus, too. And she's our youth group leader, and she puts together a lot of fun activities for our youth. Does anyone know who this is? That is Mr. Beckel. You're right. He's also a follower of Jesus, and he's the principal here at our school. Does anyone know who this is? Yeah, this is Pam. This is Tom. She is our music director in our church. So she plays the organ up there. And she's our music teacher, Neil. These people didn't live hundreds of years ago, and they're not portrayed within the stained glass windows. However, the Bible refers to all believers as saints. A saint is a holy one. That means someone who is set apart for God's special purposes. And all believers have been set apart for God's special purposes. That brings me to this last picture I have. Look at this. Who do you see? Okay, who's in the mirror? You. You are all saints. You are all saints. You can see yourself. You are all followers of Jesus. So that makes you a saint too. You might not be as well known as Peter, Paul, or Luke, but you are still a saint. As followers of Jesus, we have been set apart as God's own children. We have also been set apart for serving God in the church and in his kingdom. So let's say a prayer. Thank you, God, for all the saints that have followed Jesus Christ. Thank you for the wonderful things they have done and for the wonderful example they are to us. Thank you also for the saints in our own congregation who serve you in so many different ways. Thank you, God, that we are also saints. We have been called by you, and we have been set apart for serving you. What a great honor that is. In Jesus' name, amen.
We continue with the sermon hymn for all the saints on page 9. We rise for the final verse.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It was a Wednesday, April the 6th, 1966. It was a momentous day, at least for me. It was the day that, against my will, I was forced from the warm, watery confines of my mother's womb into the bright, antiseptic environment of the maternity ward at Porter Memorial Hospital in Valparaiso, Indiana. Up to this point, I had the constant, comforting beat of my mother's heart to keep me company. I could hear my mother's muffled voice and the voices of others around her. I had blurry vision, but I could see the glow of bright lights. Depending on what Mom had for dinner, I could taste it in the fluid surrounding me. It was a wonderful life inside the womb. It was the only life I knew. But then I had to come out into the world. I did not want to come out, but I came out into the world anyway, and it was not an easy trip. I do not remember much about that day, but I am sure it was traumatic. I probably cried and wet myself. Birth is horrible, and birth is wonderful. It transports you to the next stage of your existence. You have been born, and now you live in this world. You can see things more clearly. You can hear things more distinctly. You can taste the nuances of food and drink. You can feel the sun on your face and the love from other people. You are pretty invested in this life. The joys and the struggles, the triumphs and the tragedies, the excitement of life and the drudgery of day-to-day existence. It is all you know as you live here in the womb of this life, preparing to be birthed into the next life. On All Saints' Day, you think about what is next. After your time in this life, what awaits you? That's a question that has perplexed people from the beginning. What happens after you die? Like a baby in the womb who thinks he is living his best life now, too often you can think that you are living your best life now. But you're wrong. The best is yet to come. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed here does not mean happy. Blessed means you are blessed for eternity. You are blessed with eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed to have all your sins covered by the robe of Jesus' righteousness. You are blessed to be destined to spend eternity with the Lord in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. The best is yet to come. And yet that is so easy to forget. It is far too easy to get focused on the things of this life so that death seems to be the absolute worst thing that could ever happen. Death can become terrifying. And so you try to deny death, ignore death, pretend that you are immortal. You try to stay insulated from death, and yet death is your constant companion. Indeed, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you try to imagine that the shadow is not there. Today we remember those who died this last year and before, and we are reminded that death is coming for each of us. Death is horrible, and death is wonderful. Death transports you to the next stage of your existence. Death is a step on the journey of your existence from creation to eternity in the heavenly city where you will live in the presence of the Lord Jesus forever. So stay alert. The devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh want you to forget about the life to come. Focus only on the here and now. They want you to give up eternal life for the things of this life. In the movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou?, there's a guitar player who claims he has sold his soul to the devil in order to become a talented musician. In movies and televisions, there's many variations on this theme of selling your soul to gain something, and you see this and you think, I would never do that. But it is incredible to see for how little people are willing to sell their eternal souls. What keeps people away from gathering to hear the good news of forgiveness of sins and receive the body and blood of Jesus? What gets people started on the habitual absence from the body of Christ? Staying out too late on a Saturday night? Wanting an extra hour of sleep? A lazy morning? The repeated plan to get to church next week that never actually happens? Life getting so busy you just can't squeeze one more thing in? People give up Jesus for the fleeting things of this world. We are all sinners who need a Savior. Salvation is freely given by Jesus to all people, but so many who hear this good news, so many who confess this good news, get distracted by the busyness of life and the deceitfulness of wealth, and they turn their backs on Jesus. It's so very tempting to give up Jesus, to pursue the things of this world, because we lose sight of the life to come. We get so focused on the glory in this life, we forget about the cross of Christ, which brings us to the next life. As followers of Jesus, you are in the world, but you cannot be of the world. Your identity is as a baptized child of God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You have been born again of water and the Spirit. You are in this world, but this world is not your home. For now you live in this world and you do what you have been given to do. You manage God's gifts given to you. But you also always remember that this life is short. As we hear from the prophet Job, man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. And in 1 Peter, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The word of the Lord remains forever. Your body will not. You have been born of your mother and then born again in water and the Spirit, and unless Jesus returns soon, you will die. But because you are clothed in the robe of Jesus' righteousness, you will not experience the second death of eternity in hell. You have the eternal word of the Lord. Your body will one day be buried in the ground, returned to the earth. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. When you die, your remains are buried in the ground. Your spirit goes to be with the Lord as you rest in peace, awaiting the final resurrection of your body on the last day, when you will be raised up imperishable. Folks have so many ideas of what things will be like in the afterlife, but we really do not know much about what life will be like in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. We know even less about the intermediate time between your death and your resurrection. You do not know what that existence will be like, but one day you will know. As we read in 1 Corinthians, for now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. For now, you only get biblical glimpses of your future in the heavenly city, as we read in Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Life in the heavenly city will be beyond what you can now understand. Like a baby in the womb, you do not know what the next life will be like, but you have God's promise that it will be paradise. You know that wearing the white robe of Jesus' righteousness, you will be one of the saints who go marching in through the pearl gates on the judgment day. For now you live as a stranger in this world, sealed in the blood of Jesus, trusting in the promise of life in the next. Remembering those who have fought the good fight of faith, we feebly struggle, waiting for the breaking of a yet more glorious day when we will be raised to eternal life in the Lord. And so you confess with St. Paul, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith.
Jack Head, Bob Hill, Jeff Poole, Lyle Roche, Matthew Schwann, Jeff Snell, Dick Tennant, Doris Foster,
who has cancer, Doris Kramer, who has heart problems and pneumonia, Prayer of thanksgiving for Miguel Bulmore's mother, Carmen, who's been released from the hospital in Suriname. Prayer of thanksgiving for Holly Hill, Lynn Schwann's daughter, who's responding well to cancer treatments. For Edith Pinoza, who's recovering from a minor stroke. For Pat McClary, who's hospitalized. For Bob Burnett, whose cancer is no longer responding to treatments. And for Greg Dawson, who has an ulcer on his leg. Let us pray to the Lord our God and Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to their joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him in your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all ministers of the gospel and the congregations committed to their care, that the comfort of Christ's sacrifice and the joy of his resurrection may be proclaimed to all who grieve their sin and mourn their dead. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Bless all in authority over us, especially those who work to bring peace and justice, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. Grant wisdom to our citizens and courage and confidence to our leaders. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve all who travel, those in need, the sick and injured, all who mourn, especially Betty, Doris, Carmen, Holly, Edith, Pat, Bob, and Greg. Give your Holy Spirit to relieve and comfort them in confidence of saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, that we believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Gather us at the blessed sacrament around the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, whom saints and angels adore around your eternal throne. Lord, in your mercy. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, O Lord, and bring us at last to the joy of your heavenly kingdom, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, in the communion of your saints gathered into the one body of your Son. You have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And together we then receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faith to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, for the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship of the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And then when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith and the life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Welcome to the Lord's table. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord